It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Neuron. Got a new night shirt, you see? I have that red one, but now I have this one, and this one has racing stripes. It's faster.
Mm.
So, question for you. So just realize, you remember Ed McMahon? That's yep. Not the question. McMahon is kind of a weird last name. Like, it sounds like it's some sort of weird racist joke name.
It does?
It's just man. It's just man. And it's McMahon. Like McDonald's, you know?
Okay.
Like McNuggets and stuff. We've introduced the new McDonald's McMahon.
Okay.
Anyway, that is not my question. So, I'm getting a text. I'm sorry. I'll have to take this. No, I really don't. So earlier this week or last week, I don't know, they all blur together. I sent you, after a long and involved process that they don't need to know about, and honestly, I can't remember, I sent you a video of a Tim Minchin music video. I said video too many times, but you know what I mean. I sent you a Tim Minchin song.
Yeah. Right.
And I feel like I already should know the answer to this, but I don't remember. Were you already familiar with him?
I don't think so.
All right. Then that's what I want to know, because I would encourage you to check him out more. I feel you would like him.
Okay.
I have mentioned him before, because remember when I said we watched the 2012 revival of Jesus Christ Superstar?
Yeah.
He's the guy who played Judas Iscariot.
Mm.
But traditionally what he is he's Australian. He is in the UK now, I think. And traditionally, he's very similar to Weird Al Yankovic in terms of the area he hits in terms of his career. He doesn't tend to do parody songs, but he does a lot of funny songs. He's an incredibly talented musician, and he's very clever in his songs. And two things I know you like are singer-songwriter music. Mm-hmm. You used to do that. And cleverness, because you hang out with me. So I don't know if this is his fault or not, but he's famously atheist. And that bugs me. Like, I don't think I've ever seen him like talk about it a lot. I think if you're famous and you make it known you're an atheist, you kind of then are like the atheist guy. And so it just annoys me, because I'm like, I don't need that. But he's very clever and he writes lots of good music. Well, as you can see, he wrote that one. So yeah, you might want to check him out sometime. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Magic Talking Hat Podcast. Only podcast in the world introduces itself like this. Because why would you? I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 507.
Which, as far as I know, is not a kind of bean.
Not a kind of what?
Jeans, blue jeans.
Oh, no.
No 501s, 505s, 50s, no 507s that I know of. That was one of the batches that they couldn't sell. They're like, God damn it, Carl, he's got three legs. How many legs do you think most people got? Count them. Count mine. You see? One, two. How about you? One, two. So why in the dang hell these jeans got three legs? You weren't my nephew, you'd be so fired. I should explain. Not that. That was just something out of nowhere. I should explain the show. We have a hat. It's magical. I was trying to sound interesting, but I'm drifting weirdly into Trump impression, so I'm going to stop that. We have a hat. It's magical. That it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. It's the best hat. Always the biggest and the best. Eric did it again. The hat has got his own email address. I just said themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People, you know who you are. Also, the rest of you, write in to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that. The hat magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. We, a couple of dudes, draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show, except the parts that aren't, which honestly is most of it. How was your Thanksgiving? On the voices tonight. I don't know what that's about.
It's good. We stayed here, ate a lot of food, all that stuff. What about you?
Possibly some of the most fun I've ever had at Thanksgiving.
Really?
Yes. First, it was great because we had the whole meal and, you know, it was just the meal. Like, we just ate it and we watched TV while we did it and it was great and I was real relaxed. I sat on my own damn couch right here, ate all the stuff. And that was fun. It was really funny because I was like, today I'm going to get, like, blood sugar be damned. I'm going to pig out today. And so I got a plate of food and I ate it. And I'm like, okay, I'm really not hungry anymore. I'm full. But, you know, I was like, I don't like the idea of, even though it tastes good, eating more when I'm already full just sounds bad to me. I don't think I'll do that. Which younger me, you know, I mean, to quote, which I try to avoid, Louis C.K., I don't stop eating when I'm full. I stop eating when I hate myself. apparently it's a maturity thing because I stopped eating when I was full. And afterwards, we're both just like, we have made such a tiny dent in this food.
Yeah.
And only just finally, like, there's a couple things left that we're throwing out. And then Trish made stock. And so we're working on that with all the carcass and everything. I don't know if it's done with meat, it's broth. If it's done with bones, it's stock. She did both, so I don't know what that is. It's brock. She's making turkey brock. Turkey stoth? No, brock is better. Turkey brock. Here's what made it fun. So, I don't remember if I've talked before about a board slash card game called Wingspan.
Yeah, have I think you have.
Yeah. Great game. It's a really great game. It's all about birds. It was made by an actual ornithologist. So, like, even the stuff involved in play is based on the actual habits of birds. So, like, when you have a bird, you play it in its habitat, and it's based on what their actual real life habitat is, and it has these cool entries on the bottom about it. It's not a super, like, you know, they make crazy, like, 8-hour game and stuff. This is not that kind of thing, but it is involved. Like, on your turn, there's, like, 4 different things you can do based on various things and stuff like that. So it's involved. Love it. It's a great game. So we had agreed, me and Trish and my youngest sister-in-law and the two parent-in-laws, we're going to get together on Zoom and we're going to play games. And the youngest sister-in-law was in charge, and she came up. She found out, she loves Wingspan. We taught her Wingspan and she loves it. She found out that there is an online version on Tabletopia.
Oh.
There is Wingspan. And so that's what we're going to play. There's 2 things to understand here. One is, it's really crazy, the Tabletopia version, in that it's literally just a virtual, like, table with all the pieces and everything, and everybody has a little hand cursor that's the color of their player, and like you pick stuff up and move it, and a lot of things are very tiny, and you can pick up other people's stuff. Like there's nothing focused on you necessarily. And like Bush and I, who have played Wingspan a ton of times, had a real hard time dealing with this. Second thing to know is both of the parents are in their 70s, never played Wingspan before. So what resulted was the most hilarious and ridiculous hours of gameplay ever, where just nothing is working. We're having to like pick up after people at one point, because I keep making fun of Stephanie for this. I was like, you are the least favorite child now. Like the parents on their deathbed are going to be asked if they have any regrets, and they're going to say, all those hours I spent online Wingspan playing. She finally got mad enough. She grabbed all my counters off the virtual board and threw them across the virtual room to keep me busy while picking them up, because I had to go do that. I had to go over and curse them over. We gave up very early on the idea of finishing the game. We just wanted to finish one of the four rounds, and we did after 3.5 hours. Wow. I laughed so much during those 3.5 hours. I almost threw up all my turkey food. It was so fun. I told them, I'm like, later when COVID's over and stuff, it is a really good game when like you can sit there and point at things and pick up cards and look at them. I said, after COVID's over, we'll teach you. So yeah, it was a hot mess and I had a great time. It was really nice. And it was really good to see all of them, because, you know, we haven't been able to.
Right.
I got a sneeze coming. Nope. It went away. So that was fun though. But yeah, otherwise nothing too crazy with Thanksgiving. How's your week and a half been? It's been about a week and a half.
Well, you know, we didn't like talk to family or anything on Thanksgiving, but the biggest thing we did after Thanksgiving was, you know, put up the tree and stuff like that, which we always like doing. And we've been binging Mr. Robot, because we saw like the first two seasons, but we didn't see the last two seasons. And so we watched the first two seasons again. Have you ever seen it?
No, I am vaguely familiar with the concept, and I know a big spoiler for somewhere about the middle of the series. That's about it.
That's been fine. I wouldn't say I'm overwhelmed with how, you know, with it being a great show or anything, but we are watching it. We do like watching it, so that we've been doing that. But you know, today, the biggest news of the week for me today was when Warner Media announced that starting with Wonder Woman and the whole 2021 slate of movies, they're going to be releasing every movie on HBO the same day as the theatrical release.
I missed this.
For people to watch free with their subscription for 30 days. And after the 30-day period, the films will still be in the theater. But if you've got an HBO Max subscription, 2021, well, starting with Wonder Woman, but all through 2021, all of the Warner Brothers releases you will also be able to watch HBO Max free with your subscription for 30 days.
Nice. Am I required to watch the second season of Raised by Wolves in order to do it?
No.
But even better.
This is a lot of, like, Dune.
What's happening? Oh, really?
Dune, Matrix 4. Godzilla versus Kong. Suicide Squad, Conjuring. I mean, maybe you're not interested in many of these movies, but lots of people are.
I'm very excited about Dune and Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
No, that's a big move. That's a big move there.
Well, that's what I thought. And of course, all of the entertainment news is talking about how bold this is and everything. And of course, some people are suggesting that, you know, this is like a nail in the coffin for movie theaters. But I don't think that's true.
I'll put it this way. I think it's going to make Warner Brothers more money than it would have if they just released them in theaters in 2021. I don't think they should necessarily keep doing it forever.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the stuff that came out this year. It has not had made a lot of money from the process.
Right. The thing about it is, though, you know, people are saying that, you know, if they're going to release, if people can watch something that the very day at home, you know, then why would they go to the theater? But the fact of the matter is, I'm not happy at the prospect that I might never see Wonder Woman 1984 in the theater. I'm not happy about that. I think a lot of people would rather see these things at least one time, the first time in the theater. And if that's true, even if they kept doing this forever, I think you'd still get fairly big opening weekends, which is when most movies make half of their money anyway. So I don't see how it's
going to appreciate your perspective. And I see the rational argument, but I think you're just not looking at history. I mean, we've been through this before. When radio was invented, they said no one was going to read books anymore, and they didn't. When television was invented, they said no one was going to read books anymore. And once again, they didn't read books ever again. And then when movies came out, they said that the theater would die. And that absolutely happened. Nobody's gone to a play since. And when VHS came out, they said movie theaters were going to die. Movie theaters are already dead. I don't even know what it is you're going to. They're gone. So clearly, as has been demonstrated. Oh. And when the Kindle came out, books totally were going to go away. Now, okay. I got to finish my bit so I can make an actual point. Are movie theaters suffering? Will there be fewer of them? Yes. As has happened with bookstores. Bookstores haven't ceased to exist. And all that other stuff is just bullshit. Yeah, people didn't go, or at least people don't go to the movie theaters because that's the only way they can see a movie.
Yeah, right.
Not even so they can see it early necessarily. It's because they like going to the movie theater.
Yeah.
And
that's what I think.
The movie theaters come up with new ways to get you to go. Come up with tastier concessions. Come up with comfier chairs. Come up with those weird ass chairs where you see an action movie and like it rocks you around and shit, which I don't want to do. But the point is, they're innovating as we speak.
Yeah.
Make this shit cool. So yeah, it's ridiculous.
I mean,
even, and that's why futurism isn't a real discipline.
Even if they lose, well, for example, if they would have had this model when the first Wonder Woman came out. We saw the first Wonder Woman probably 7 times in the theater. But I'll admit, we probably only would have seen it one time in the theater if after that we could just watch it for a month on HBO Max. But we almost never do that, see something multiple times in the theater. I imagine some people do, and they lose some of that revenue. But here's the thing. Most of those movies sometimes make, you know, we've had movies that have made $2 billion. If these movies only make like 800 million or even 500 million instead, depending on their budget, that's still a lot of money. That's still enough money to keep theaters going. So,
get me wrong. The movie industry might suffer a market correction.
Yeah. Sure.
Which would be fine and would mean that we have less of these $200 million films made by 3 companies and more smaller budget independent stuff. Oh dear. I'm not saying that movie theaters aren't going to suffer. To suggest that they're going to go away is as ridiculous as all the other ones I mentioned, which all were real things people said.
I mean, I don't think that, for example, you know, in this area, we don't have, I don't think we're oversaturated with screens in this area. So like, I don't think we'll probably like lose theaters or anything. Well,
and we have lost them in the past. We had other theaters and they're gone.
Well, that's
although,
true. Yes.
Our newest art house theater has a giant building now.
Yeah.
It's way cooler than the place it was in. So.
I don't think that business is going to be hurt because of the types of movies they play. Sometimes they're playing classic movies that you could already stream on at home, but people would still go to this place to watch them because you're seeing it in a theater.
I mean, you know what industry has been crushed by the next iteration? Cassette tapes, 8-tracks, VHS. Primarily because something replaced it that gave the exact same experience, but was equal to or better on every possible level. As long as that doesn't happen, people do not like losing their options.
Yeah,
I mean, right. Holy shit. You know what industry hasn't tanked? Fucking vinyl records. Because apparently there's an argument for a clearer sound that way. I don't know, but
I am so sorry that people listen. If
thousands of hipsters can't be wrong, watch it.
You need to watch this one.
I'm doing some full body eye rolling in this episode.
It's so really good. It's very entertaining. If you're just listening, you're missing out.
I have had a day, so I am not taking shit from nobody, even my own hypothetical self. I am on one.
I
think it's gonna happen.
I watched a video from this one person who's an entertainment journalist, and who's sometimes his opinion I respect, but he spent a lot of time thinking that this was like really going to be bad, and I thought, well, I just don't see it. Might be, but I don't.
There is a circumstance where it could be the death of theaters, because there are other reasons things lose. Betamax is a great example. According to historians, Betamax was basically superior to VHS in just about every way, and yet it lost out. That becomes a public relations marketing thing. So if somebody decides they want to take down movie theaters and they spend enough money and launch a compelling enough worldwide campaign, they might pull it off. But I'm not sure who wants to do that. Apparently this guy you apparently read.
Well, I mean,
Jackass.
I think he was just worried. I mean, I think he's just scared it's going to happen. And so
he was probably scared about what Rise of Skywalker would be like.
No, I mean, he, you know, this is his bread and butter to do movie reviews and things like that. Well, that's another thing he complained about, which I thought was interesting, was that if this becomes a model, if other studios do this, and if they don't just do it through 2021, but they do it other times, it's going to be harder to measure how movies are doing, because so far everybody measures the success of theatrical releases almost solely based on how it does in the theatrical box office. And if you are, if part of your success is measured by how it's doing on streaming, well, as of now, or, you know, so far, there's no standardized way for streaming services to report how well their movies are doing.
Holy shit.
Some of them don't report any.
You are right about that. That actually could happen. Movies, we might not be able to tell exactly how successful or how much money certain movies made. If that happens, you know what? I'm genuinely asking, why the fuck do I care? Well, unless I'm working for a movie company, why the hell do I care?
Well, the reason this guy cared was because this is how he makes a living.
That's shitty at it then. COVID happened. I watch channels that do movie reviews. You know what happened with COVID? They're actually doing more and new stuff. One guy whose whole deal is to look at classic movies and talk about them during COVID has been doing lockdown reviews where he looks at what's coming out on streaming services and gives reviews of them. It's been really helpful.
Sure.
As long as the movies exist, his job is not in danger unless he's somehow unable to review movies without sitting in bum.
I mean, it's just a big part of what he does is talking about charts. And I mean, he's just going to have to change what he does.
So he's obviously a shitty movie reviewer. I see. So okay, he's more of a movie economist.
I guess so. I don't know. He'll just have to.
I wasn't going to go see this movie, but this guy showed me a graph about just how much money it's making. So I decided I'm going to buy 2 tickets every week.
Look, this is a YouTuber, okay? YouTubers they specialize a lot, right? So I mean, you know, they do. So right.
Be the downfall of this one fucker.
I don't know. And I mean, I know.
I would like to go on record saying I have no idea who this is, but I hate him. Don't tell us who it is. It's better this way. I could find out it's somebody I know and actually like. Since I don't know, I'm like, no, fuck that guy.
I mean, he's not the only, and I know some, I read some columnists.
You and him, your cousin.
No, I know some columnists too who seem to really focus on the box office, and it's like, wow, this guy's going to have to start writing different types of articles. I mean, you know, for some people.
Why?
I don't know.
You pay attention to this guy. What is interesting about a movie reviewer who focuses on the box office? What's interesting to it about you? I'll admit, I get curious. I like to look up how things are doing as a separate thing. It has zero impact on whether or not I want to see a movie.
Oh, yeah, that's not really the point. There are three or four people that I read or watch on a fairly regular basis who sometimes talk about these things. And the reason they talk about them is because they're talking about the movie business. So they're not talking about the films. I mean, sometimes they review films, but other times they're talking about, you know, what kind of business moves that each studio is making, you know, what kind of revenue there was for the movie business in a given year. You know, if Disney's doing better than Warner Brothers or counter programming against Warner Brothers on this, that, or the other thing. And I'm interested in that kind of stuff.
And I am. And I'm willing to admit there's a decent chance this model, especially if it continues, could have a lot of negative impact on independent film economic commentary.
Okay, well,
which I am is I like is honest stuff. It's honestly a thing. No, it is a thing, and I freely admit that the death of movie theaters is so completely a different thing.
Oh yeah, right, sure.
What the hell? No, but I freely admit places like boxofficemojo.com might suffer from this. And that is a downside. I like them. It's just like, that's such a different thing. Oh, the death of movie theaters. No.
I'm just telling you what I've heard.
Like, oh, COVID's going to kill off humanity, by which I just mean it's going to complicate my Tinder bio situation. Like, that is not... It might impact who I date. Oh, well, that's not the same fucking thing. I mean, bad for you and your love life, and I'll admit to that. But why did you open with that?
You are in a mood.
I am in a mood.
It's entertaining, though. I mean, I don't mean that any disrespect. It just is.
Oh, no, I don't ever do anything if it's not entertaining, even when I'm by myself.
By the way, what's this shirt you're wearing? Did you say it's a nightshirt?
Yes, yeah, nightshirt. Yeah, I've been wearing these now. So you remember my caftans?
Yeah.
It's terrible weather for caftans. So I think I talked about that. I don't know. So my mother historically likes to buy me shirts.
Okay.
Frequently for Christmas and or my birthday, some of the presents she will get me are shirts. They tend to be heavier shirts, long sleeve, Henley type things, like pullover type thing. I mostly wear button up collared things. These are these. And I don't wear as many of those. I did when I was younger, which I think may be part of what you get. And she picks great ones. I just don't wear them as much, although in winter they can be useful.
Yeah.
And so what frequently has happened over the years is she always seems to buy me 2 for whatever birthday or Christmas or whatever. She buys me two. I open one and I put it on and it's nice. And I kind of wear it off and on through the winter. And then it goes. And so slowly I'm building up a collection of these. The other one is never opened. In fact, before I was fixing up the house, there was a pile of them from like multiple years on the coffee table in this room. So recently I was like, hey, I should grab one of those. It's chilly. And especially in my old age, possibly, I don't know. In recent years, I'm more cold than I used to be.
Hmm.
I used to run very hot and that's not happening as much. So I was like, hey, I should grab one of those. They're great and I need new one. So I opened one up and I'm like, oh, this is a nice color. It's just this burgundy thing. Got the pocket, which is very important. And I open it up and it unfolds and it keeps unfolding. And I'm like, oh, this is a nightshirt. And I was like, it's actually pretty cool. It's like a warmer version of a caftan.
Hmm.
So I started wearing it and it is. It's too cold for those fucking weird polyester satiny cap. It was too cold, even in my own house. So I've been wearing that one and I liked it. And I mentioned it to Trish because I don't ever buy my own clothes. Seriously, I had a 2-year stint where I bought my own clothes. Before then, it was my mother. After that, it was my wife with occasional things for my mother. Otherwise, don't buy my own clothes at all. So I tell my wife, I'm like, I want another one of these. She's like, okay, I'll look it up. And she found one. And so she got me this one. And it's black and it's faster because it has racing stripes. I move quicker.
Does it have a white collar too?
It does, yes. I also have a white collar, naturally. Yes, it does.
And it's got a couple buttons. How many buttons on the top does it have?
Two.
And is it cotton?
Probably.
Or would
that or snakeskin? I can't remember.
Snake. How come you don't have a cap to go with it? When people used to wear nights, they wore caps. Do you have a cap? You don't have a cap that goes with it, do you?
Not that goes with it.
What's that?
This is my beanie. My slouchy beanie. I don't know if I can keep this on because it's going to screw up the continuity edit.
I wonder if anyone sells nightshirts with matching caps anymore.
No, that strikes me as a business only you would come up with. I think you should do it, though. I think it would be successful. I just don't think anyone else would attempt it.
I'm also wondering if I would ever wear a nightshirt. It sounds comfortable, but it doesn't sound like my kind of deal.
Yeah, because you're pro pants, which I've never understood. Sorry, pro trousers.
Yeah, I am pro pants. For Craig. I am pro pants. Benefit. Yeah.
Which is terrible. I mean, it makes you history's greatest monster without a doubt. Well, and you've said you'd do caftans if they were long sleeve. This is essentially the same thing. I wear this out the same way I wore the caftans out. I'll admit, people look at me and like, it looks like pajamas. And I'm like,
but I mean, I'd still probably wear pants is the thing.
Yeah. I recently got some sweatpants because I needed some new ones because my legs get cold sometimes.
When I think, though, of the nightshirt coming with a hat, that immediately raises the probability that I would wear it. Seems dumb to me, but that's the truth.
No, let's be honest. You're pretty much game for anything if there's a hat involved. I think that's the reason you did this podcast.
Yeah, because I wear
hats. I think if I had been like, dude, I got a magical talking bucket, you would have been like, yeah, see you later. Let me know how that goes. It was like a hat, and you were like, oh.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. I don't know.
Somebody say it
doesn't
hat.
Make any sense.
You like hats. That's cool. You like hats.
It makes no sense. I'm more inclined to get involved in anything
that doesn't involve pants. Same kind of deal.
I've got lots of kinds of hats. See, when I was a kid, I had this idea that I would have, well, I don't know if you ever watched Captain Kangaroo. Did you ever watch Captain Kangaroo?
Yeah. Definitely fair ping pong balls for years as a kid.
If recollection serves, he had a hat tree that had a bunch of hats on it, didn't he?
Did you forget the word hat rack?
But hat rack, is that is the same as it stands up and it's got a lot of I was gonna say hat rack, but that's right. Is that what it is?
I don't remember that. I remember him having full on rip torn or not rip torn, Rip Taylor on mullet hair. And that's it.
Oh, well, anyway, wherever I got this idea, I was going to have one of these things. And I was going to, you know, it was gonna have places for me to hang 20 different hats. And
it looks like Eastern Orthodox priest in this thing.
And I was going to, what I was going to do with all those hats was I was going to do routines with them.
Yeah.
Like I was going to do sketches where I would play all the characters and you would be able to tell who I was because I would put on a different hat. And I just had this in my head for years and years and years that I would have one of these things, these hats on it. And so when I was, for a long time while I was growing up, if I got birthday money or Christmas money and I didn't need to spend it on something else or whatever, if I could find a new hat that was a different style of hat than anything I'd ever had before, I wasn't interested in having like a whole bunch of different kind of caps or whatever, even though I do have that too. I wanted different styles.
Yeah. Totally new thing.
A fedora, a top hat, a cap, you know, and I was going to have like 20 or 30 different kinds. And I was going to put them all over this just so that once in a while I could do bits with it. And so I did have a pretty extensive hat collection. I graduated high school and then I got rid of some. And now, as you know, I do have a fairly substantial.
The first 10 videos on this channel are us doing live hat questions. In that instance, we use the hat because it is by its nature changing and confusing in all ways. But if that wasn't the case, if say this hat being magical thing was complete bullshit that we did just as a premise for a podcast, you have enough hats that we could have had the same effect passing it in front of the screen and every time being a different hat. You have quite the collection.
And a different style of hat.
Yeah. Well, this is, I mean, too. I've known you for a while now. I like to think that you tell me a lot of things and I have a general outline of who you are. I am pretty sure everything in your life is eventually leading to a one-man show about your life. And I can't find a reason why it would not involve lots of different kinds of hats. And then we went to Russia, and then you put on that one, like the whole
deal. Well, I did buy a hat in Russia. It was made out of fur. It's, you know, it's furry. It's rabbit fur. I don't know where it is now. I think I still have it.
And then you have to switch it out for something else so you can do your Marion Ross impression. Like, there's a whole deal. No, I think this is where you've always been headed. And I want to see you get there. And I think the hats will help.
Yeah, I don't. I think they're kind of spread all over. I think I've got some in this room and another room. I think I'd have to find them all.
We get you a Steadicam GoPro right in your face and you just wander around your house and switch them as you're going. It'll be like a Verve video. Your own version of Bittersweet Symphony.
I've, you know, for every hat, I mean, one time I got a Deerstalker in, I was in Lake Placid, I want to say. Yeah, I think it was in Lake Placid and there was a hat shop there and I bought a Deerstalker.
Wow.
That I gave away, but I got it back somehow. So I think it's around here somewhere.
They say if you love your mask looking hat, set it free. If it comes back, start a one-man show.
So yeah, I could do the whole Sherlock Holmes thing, or I could do, yeah, I can do anything. God. I just like hats, I guess. I don't know how that, I don't know how I got it in my head that.
You mean if you were, on your head?
No, that if I was doing some kind of sketch or whatever, that a key part of getting into character would involve putting a hat on.
It's the world's easiest and yet most involved costume change.
But I didn't think of any other, like, no, not a jacket or any. Just
that's
the hat.
Way more involved. You got to put hat. On a jacket and stuff. No, just pump somebody new, pump somebody else. No, I get it. I'm not, you know, as pathologically obsessed as you are, but I get the idea. And I've spent my whole life trying to find hats that I look good in and failing for decades. I don't know that that has changed. I just have stopped giving a shit.
You don't think you look good in certain types of hats?
I do now.
Oh.
I guarantee you, younger me wouldn't have.
Oh.
No. In college, by the time I hit college, I had a gray trench coat, of course, and one of those Australian leather hats with the wire around the brim so you can, like, lift it up or whatever. Uh-huh. I had a stout walking stick that I had carved myself, and I wore those all around college campus forever. And people who didn't know me knew, like, I was a known entity, the guy with the trench coat and the hat and the stick. Like, they knew who that was. I was such a anything else this week?
Yeah. No. Do you have something else?
A lot of stuff.
I got a bunch okay, of shit. Please. I got please proceed.
Okay. Once again, want to put the plug out there for Kim's Convenience. It is a great show. It is a sitcom on Netflix. I highly recommend everyone. We are slowly spreading it to all sorts of friends and family and things. Great show. That's not what I'm here to talk about. I tell you, I've been watching the Animaniacs reboot.
Yep.
Yeah, it's odd.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, well, first of all, I don't know that I needed Animaniacs reboot. But insofar as I did, I don't know what I'd be searching for in it. But I know that this kind of hits the mark and kind of doesn't. It's odd. It's odd. I mean, it's not a reason to buy Hulu, but if you've got Hulu, you know, check it out. What was I gonna say?
I don't know.
I don't remember. Okay. Side note, playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey again. I think I've discovered now the trick is I need to be playing two video games at once, and when I get bored with one, I switch to the other. Because that's what I did. I stopped playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey so I could play Amalur: Re-Reckoning. I got bored with that. And I switched back to Odyssey, and now Odyssey's not boring again. It's awesome. So I think I need to do more of this, especially because I'm developing such a backlog. Just today, I was doing a quest where I had to tell children the story of Perseus. And to help you out, there's this hall that has all these relics related to him, and so you can look at him and do it. So I thought I was ready. And I went, and I told the story, and I did a bad job. And the children hated me.
Oh.
What is funny is the whole process is you get like two choices in each section, and then you tell a story. And I eventually figured out the two choices by and large are, one choice is how the actual myth of Perseus goes, and the other choice is how it went in the original Clash of the Titans movie.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, that's interesting.
Because there were some where I'm like, I don't remember them talking about this when I looked at the relics. I remember from Clash of the Titans that this is what happened. So I did it, and the kids are like, I don't think that's it. At a certain point, they're like, what's a Kraken? They're like, do you mean Pythos the monster? I actually say to the kid, no. Poseidon clearly said, release the Kraken, not release the Ketos. Like, I got fucked because of that. So that was fun.
Yeah.
I have two things I want to talk about, and general things I want to talk about. And tricky. Okay. First, let's talk fitness.
Okay.
As you may recall, we spent way too much money on a Nintendo Switch so that my wife could stop doing things in her real life and instead start doing things in Animal Crossing. But also so that I could stay fit. Because if I don't work out, things go bad and my spine breaks. And if I continue to work out at the gym, I get COVID. And if I just walk all the time outside, I freeze to death because I live in Iowa. It's winter. So we got this thing and I'm playing Ring Fit Adventure. And it's really cool. I highly recommend it for anyone who has a Nintendo Switch. It is gamified to, it's a game. It's a straight up role-playing game. Like, it has a plot. I have abilities. Just today, I got a new attack and it have too many now. So I have to decide which ones I'm going to equip. And they're all exercises that I do during battles. Like, they have different stats and things like that. And there are monster fights. And like, today I actually gained an ability that's similar to like an elemental affinity in role-playing games against monsters, where like certain types of exercises do things against certain monsters if they're a certain color. And it's really fun. It works all my muscles, like muscles that I never was working in my normal gym routine, because there's so many different things. I'm becoming very mixed about it because I'm a gamer. And if you play this game the way you would play most video games, you and your reward is doing less exercise. Because if I'm picking the attack that does the most damage to this monster, doing that exercise makes them die quicker. Whereas if I was doing inefficient exercises against that type of monster, I would have to do more of them.
Oh.
And stuff like that. Like I you can level grind. I can go back and do stages I've already done that are easier, and I will get XP, which will increase my level, which will increase both my attack and defense stats. I'm torn. And like when I picked what attacks I was going to equip, I did not base it on what exercises I want to work on for the sake of my fitness. I based it on the stats and range of the various attacks, like you would in a video game.
Right.
But I think the trade-off is all of this gamifying makes me way more want to actually play the game. So I guess that's the trade-off. As a brilliant person once said, the best exercise is the one that you'll do. And this definitely makes me want to keep playing. It is fascinating. If you have a Switch, I absolutely recommend it. It is great exercise and a really fun game. What I'd like mostly to talk about is crazy pagan on lesser known British islands.
Okay.
Trish and I watched the HBO limited series, The Third Day.
Yeah, never heard of it.
Yeah, it kind of snuck out on HBO, and they were having the big selling point is it stars Jude Law.
Oh.
It involves Jude Law ending up on this island full of these colorful locals who all have their own older religious practices, and it's all kind of weird, and he's trying to solve the mystery and all this stuff, and hijinks ensue, and it's dark and scary. And then in the trailers you also have things where there's this woman who goes to the island that appears to have nothing to do with Jude Law, like it was at a different time or whatever, and it's all weird, and a lot of people saying ominous things about pain and loss and stuff like that. And we're like, well, check it out, you know, because this is, there's a tradition here. There's weird Lovecraftian shit on these little islands. You know, there's Wicker Man. Midsummer. Admittedly, that one's in Sweden, but it's the same kind of deal. You know, God, oh, it's freaky. And all these people have these weird beliefs and, oh, they'll eat you alive. Third Day Only six episodes, and like, it's not going to have a... It's a true limited series. Is absolute shit. That being said, it's hilarious. Not on purpose. Trish was... At one point, when it got really egregious, she's like, we can kind of stop here. I was like, you kidding? I want to watch all of this. It's amazing. None of it makes sense. It's written in that way where, like, everything people say isn't sentences that humans would say. And bullshit, like, where a lot of the suspense is built up because when people on any side of the equation ask each other questions, those people just don't answer them, say something else, and then the original questioner never follows up. When's the last time you saw her alive? You know, this jetty out here has been here for 200 years. Oh, really? It has. Tell me more. Like, full of that. I will warn you, you will not get to see a Lovecraftian beast. It's just terrible. It's just terrible, but it cracks me up. They also were stealing so much from the genre. I'm like, you know, you could make a drinking game out of it if you've seen these other movies and stuff, because this is like a genre. And it caused me to bring up Wicker Man again, and it caused me to bring up the original Wicker Man. And Trish says, I don't think I've actually seen the original Wicker Man. And I say, I know what we're doing for date night. It's not on Netflix anymore. We had to pay a couple. Actually, I think I just bought it because it was like $8 to buy on Amazon. So got it now and we watch it. It's a low budget 1970s horror film.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of that stuff going on. It's good and it holds up. It's clever. And rewatching it, like, you can dig deep into it, the themes and the motifs and why they did what they did. There's some interesting stuff in it that seems... It's hard to explain because there is a twist, and the first time you see it, you should keep the sort of twist or whatever. But like, a lot of stuff, if you watch it the first time and think it's a bad movie, once you understand what's going on, it's... The screenwriter wasn't bad. The screenwriter was doing something with that. It's really fascinating. And then, just for shits and giggles, as soon as we were done, I played... there's a YouTube channel I watch called The Bad Flicks that is sort of a review / mocking summary of films. And I played Trish the episode for the Nicolas Cage remake of The Wicker Man, which is one of the worst things in the history of the world. And like Zack Snyder's Watchmen, manages to hew so closely to the original, stealing lines, stealing scenes straight out of the original, yet completely doesn't understand what the original is about. It's just a disaster. It's amazing. Like, it, that one's worth watching again because it's so horrible. Like, it's not a good movie, but it's a hilarious movie, not on purpose. So that was fun. And I do still highly recommend the original Wicker Man. It's an impressive and a great Christopher Lee performance. A whole bunch of great performances in it. Eklund has a ridiculous Highland accent, but otherwise, it's really quite good. I like it a lot. I just remember there is another thing I have to talk about. Like, maybe the day after, no, like 2 days after we recorded the Thanksgiving episode, we watched a movie because I read those articles that say, here's what's coming to this streaming service and going away from this streaming service and stuff. And I saw that leaving Netflix on December 1st was The Lobster. Have you seen The Lobster?
No.
Okay. I was going to say you've frozen up or fallen asleep. So I don't know. Have you heard of The Lobster?
I don't know.
Your screen is just frozen. I can hear you, but your screen is just frozen.
I don't remember.
Here's what I knew about The Lobster. It was a while back. It's sort of an indie thing. It has a lot of big names in it, actually, but it's a British It's one of those films. It's like Britain and France and the Netherlands and several people involved. But here's what I knew about it. It was sort of a dark comedy. It starred Colin Farrell. It was a sort of sci-fi speculative situation where there's a society where if you're single for too long and can't find a partner, you get turned into an animal. Not like magically, like that's the society's laws, basically. And it's called The Lobster because Colin Farrell is in this situation and he has stated that if he gets turned into an animal, he wants to be turned into a lobster. Watch this movie. I feel about this movie the same way I feel about Liver. I know how I feel about Liver.
Not particularly, but I mean, now you have to tell me, I think.
Yeah. Love it. Wonderful. I genuinely, unironically think it's really great. And I enjoy it very much. And anybody else tells me I cannot stand that, I'm like, yeah, I totally get that. I can totally understand why you would hate it. But I love it. I found this movie incredibly fascinating. I can't stop thinking about it. It is speculative fiction in the style that you cannot pick it apart or it falls apart. Like they made some very arbitrary speculative choices that you're just like, that's not, the world couldn't operate that way. Like it makes no sense. That's the thing. It's very much in a thought experiment bubble.
Yeah.
It's commentary on our view of relationships, the way dating works, the way society views single people, like all sorts of fascinating, the nature of why people get together. This is all in here. And it's quite violent in places. It's a very black comedy. And I loved it. And I found it fascinating. And I could sit down and talk for hours with somebody about it. It was amazing. But it is absolutely balls out crazy as hell. And if somebody's like, that was just random bullshit and I hated it, I would be like, I totally understand why you feel that way. Like, feeling how I do about this movie makes me feel as though I'm one of those people who tricked me into watching a ghost story. I told you how like everybody fucking loved a ghost story.
Yeah. And
I'm like, yeah, you all need to die for your opinion here. Like, I feel like I'm on the other side of that here. Like, oh. People got mad at me for tricking them into watching this movie. I would feel bad and I would understand why they felt that way. But I love it and I'm gonna recommend it. Watch it. Unless what I've just said sounds terrible, then don't do it. I thought it was brilliant. Loved it. It's got a great, great cast. Besides Colin Farrell, Olivia Colman's in it. A bunch of British people who I know by sight, I don't necessarily know. Rachel Weisz is in it. And when Rachel Weisz is cast in the right place, she's amazing. And she's cast in the right place here. I used to think I didn't like Rachel Weisz, and then I found out, like, no, when she's given the right role, she's incredible. So yeah, watch that. Loved that. The Lobster. No longer on Netflix. I don't know where it is now. Check that out. So yeah, a lot of weird shit happening. All right. We're past time, but we should answer a thing. We've been bad about that a lot lately. We're having too much fun. All yeah, right.
Too much fun.
Oh, Dave of Id has a kind of suspicious question.
Okay.
What would be the name of a rival podcast, this one? David, if you want to come at us, you do it. Come up with your own goddamn podcast name. We're not going to do the work for you so you can slit our throats. Put in the effort. Literally, that's the only effort. all we ever did was come up with a name. That's the maximum amount of effort we put into it. But I feel like your integrity requires you, so do it. What's ours called? He froze up again. It's getting awkward. I think my wife's watching Constantine in the other room. Oh my God, not only have you've frozen up in the midst of movement, so it looks like you have no eyes, like the opening of Bly Manor. It's weird.
Yeah, the connection's very bad.
Yeah, I think this has become a thing when I'm recording and she's streaming. We had this with gaming the other night too. It's bad. All right, let's do it quick. What's ours called? The Magical Talking Hat Podcast. So, rival to this, the secular boots. I mean, I don't think to rival us, you should stop the talking. With the secular talking boots.
How about the... the mundane mute galoshes.
I like, there's a certain patter to that I like. The mundane mute galoshes. I like the sound of that. I kind of like the sound of that better than the magical talking hat, but you know. And if you really want to be a rival to us, your podcast should be called Magical Talking Hat is a stupid name for a podcast and they suck. Listen to us instead. Podcast. That's one that I feel like you abbreviate.
The Magicaler Talking Hat? The
Magical.
Because their talking hat is Magicaler?
Or is it Talkinger? The Magical Talkinger Hat.
I don't know that you can be
more hatter. Like, I don't think that's a thing.
Yeah.
So you can be the magical shouting hat. That's a terrible idea. I'll tell you why, and you should know already. Because we're not called the magical talking hat because the hat talks. As we've said, hat don't talk. Hat don't talk. If the hat talks, the host wouldn't need us.
The hat
is a magical hat of talking.
I know, but the hosts could shout at each other the whole time.
That's what
time.
I'm saying. Then becomes the a magical hat of shouting, which sounds awful. Isn't that basically what Joe Rogan's podcast is?
I'm just saying it might compete if it was that. I don't know.
People listen to this show for the volume. I mean, this is the problem. Come up with a rival, they would need to be matching us on our own turf. And they would need to appeal in the same sort of way and take over our audience. And we have no idea why we appeal. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know. I guess the best way to be a rival podcast to ours is to specifically pay money to the listeners we have, because we have a very finite set of listeners. And so if you paid them to listen to your podcast, it might work. You could even put in like a time factor, and then people like Beth and Mark would have to be caught up or else they would run out of money. You know, I usually know when Azure Talon's watching a video now. He's a friend of mine on the PS4, and he frequently is online, but he's not. There's no game listed. And I finally look up something, and it usually means he's watching videos, like streaming something or whatever. So now I know when he's watching TV. I plan to use this against him. I have yet to figure out how.
Magical pyramid scheming hat.
It's a magical hat of pyramid scheming. No, legally, you can't call it that. It's a magical multi-level marketing hat.
Oh, that, yeah, that, that's what, that's it. So then
went to court and everything. It's liable. Call it slander.
Then people, call it. So then people would make money and that would compete because we don't pay people like you've already pointed out.
But I did say multi-level marketing, so other people wouldn't make money either.
Well, somebody would.
All right. Hey,
how does it work?
We have a hat. It's magical. And that hat has two friends. It's us. And if we each have two friends and get them to ride in, and then they get two friends.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm not there yet. I don't know how. Happen? Yeah, that's. Oh. If you'd like to help us make money off of this podcast, give us your pyramid scheme on themagicaltalkinghat.com. Also, give us some titles, people. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and give us titles for a rival podcast, because I feel like y'all will come up with good ones, and I want to hear them. In fact, if they're good enough, we'll mention them on the next episode. And also, if they're bad enough, we'll mention them on the... If they're kind of in between, we might not mention them. But like, if they really suck or they're good, we probably will. All right, that's probably enough for this time. I think we're going to call it Turkey Brock. Feels right. Especially after a week after the Thanksgiving one, like, you know. This episode is essentially the leftovers.
Makes sense.
Yeah, good. All right.
Yeah. Makes sense, yeah.
So go to the blog, tell us some stuff, because that's what we crave. That's why we do this this week. And then listen again next week, because that's how we make money. Yeah.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.